From the End to Eternity introduction. In the preceding book, in this series, The Rise and Fall of the Antichrist, we followed the rise of the Antichrist to world power and his eventual doom and destruction at the Battle of Armageddon. This has now brought us to the end of Hell on Earth, and to the topic of this book, Heaven on Earth. Again, we turn to the writings of David Berg for our mentoring on this subject. He loved to delve into the mysteries of the Bible, and his studies on what the Bible reveals about the future, when Jesus will come back to reign on earth, are fascinating reading. In fact, if any subjects in the Bible could be called the real good news next to Jesus' first coming, these could. Glimpses into this wonderful future are found throughout the Bible, as the prophets and other Bible writers recorded the things that were revealed to them. Some passages deal solely with this time period, whereas many other references appear interspersed with prophecies concerning other times. David Berg explained this sometimes confusing phenomenon by using the analogy of looking at the physical horizon. In the distance there may appear to be a mountain range, and if you were asked to describe what you see, you would say just that there is a range of mountains ahead. However, as you travel toward them, it becomes clearer that there is not just one mountain range, but several. From a distance the ranges appear to be blended into one, but they become distinctly separate, sometimes by vast distances, upon closer view. So it was with the prophets of old as they peered into the future. What to them from a distance seemed like events that were contemporaneous are separated by wide intervals of time, and we can see this as we approach the time for their fulfillment. An example of this can be found in the following prophetic verses penned by the prophet Zechariah 500 years before Jesus' first coming. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion! Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem! Behold, your king is coming to you, he is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations, his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth." Zechariah 9:9-10. These are two consecutive verses about Jesus. The first talks about his first coming, and specifically his entry into Jerusalem riding on a donkey on Palm Sunday. The second has to do with his second coming, when his dominion will be to the ends of the earth. To Zechariah, the two events appeared to have been happening at the same time, or the second soon after the first, but as history has borne out, they are separated by thousands of years. The events that we will cover in this book begin with the end of the Battle of Armageddon, and continue through Jesus' 1,000-year reign on earth, which is commonly called the Millennium, to a rebellion and war that the book of Revelation calls the Battle of Gog and Magog, the destruction of the earth's atmosphere and surface, which paves the way for the recreation of a new paradisiacal surface on the earth, and, finally, the descent to this recreated earth of the amazing heavenly city known in the Bible as New Jerusalem. The Bible tells us quite a lot about all of these events, and from the relevant passages we get many mouth-watering snapshots of the fantastic future our wonderful God has in store. After the Battle of Armageddon, at which time the Antichrist's reign on earth is ended and Satan's power is broken, begins the task of establishing "Thy God's kingdom come, thy will be done, on the earth, as it is in heaven." Matthew 6:9-13, the Lord's Prayer, also called the Our Father. It won't be an overnight process, but from that time forward the earth will get better and better. And if you have received Jesus as your Savior, this is your future too. And it is one glorious future. You had better not plan on retiring once you leave this world, because there will be lots of challenging work to do both in heaven and back here on earth. All the experience and wisdom you have gained in this life is going to be put to good use in the world to come. God needs you to help him establish heaven on earth. Chapter 1, The Judgment of the Saints. If you have read The Rise and Fall of the Antichrist, you understand that the wars and destruction that occur during the reign of the Antichrist will have a devastating effect on the earth. There will have been nuclear war followed by the climactic Battle of Armageddon, and Jesus will then return to earth to set up his kingdom. Daniel chapter 2 tells us that in the days of these kings, the 10 kings that give their power and allegiance to the Antichrist, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44. The first event that apparently takes place at the beginning of the millennium is foretold in chapter 7 of the book of Daniel. This chapter describes a vision Daniel had, in which he saw, in allegorical form, the rise and fall of the Antichrist, the allegorical nature of the vision then changes to the following view of God's throne room. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days God was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued, and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one, like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory, and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Then the kingdom and dominion, and the greatness of the kingdoms, under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Daniel 7:19, 13-14, 27. The saints that it is talking about here and in other passages that we will quote in this book are not those officially canonized by various churches, such as the Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches, as saints, but rather all those who have received Jesus, the wonderful Son of Man as he is referred to several times in the Bible, whose kingdom is populated by all those who love him. The saints that suffered under the Antichrist in the tribulation seem to receive special mention, as is borne out in the following verse from the book of Revelation. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast, or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads, or on their hands. And they lived, and reigned with Christ, for 1,000 years. Revelation 24. Yet not only those who were persecuted and killed, but all of God's saints will rule and reign with him during the millennium. To him who overcomes I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation 3:21. And they said, "You have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Revelation 5:10. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has." Luke 12:42-44. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? 1 Corinthians 6:2-3. God will engage the services of his saints to help him run the world during the millennium. Many have already been with him in heaven and know a lot more about things than we do. They've lived years, centuries, many even millennia in heaven, so they would have undoubtedly learned much by this time. The great patriarchs and prophets and heroes of the Bible and Christian history are going to be right up next to Jesus and his heavenly counselors. And the Lord is going to put his dedicated followers of today in two positions of responsibility too. Many people have the idea that after Jesus returns they are going to be way off somewhere in heaven, perhaps floating peacefully on a cloud. But at least some of heaven, part of the kingdom of God, is going to be right here on earth during the millennium. And God's people are going to be called upon to assist Jesus right here on earth in his great task of ruling the world. Wouldn't it be ridiculous if after living busy, fulfilling lives on earth full of challenges and fulfilling tasks, we wound up in heaven with nothing to do but sit on a cloud, wear a white robe, and play a harp, while a golden halo hovers over our head for eternity? That would be incredibly boring. This current life is schooling for what must be done when we start getting our postgraduate course, to prepare us for perhaps even greater work to do thereafter. However, not all the followers of Jesus will share equally in responsibilities and rewards. The Lord spoke a parable to his disciples about stewards being given various quantities of money to hold for their master, what they did with it, and how they were rewarded for how they used or invested it. The principle expressed in this parable undoubtedly applies to the blessings and responsibilities believers will receive in this new era. Those rewards will be commensurate with how they used their time, abilities, and resources toward furthering the kingdom of God and obeying his law to love their fellow man while they were on earth the first time. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went, and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went, and dug in the ground, and hid his lord's money. After a long time the lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came, and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents, look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant, you were faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents, look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, do you know that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed? So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. 1 Matthew 25 14 30 This parallels what a heavenly messenger told Daniel, and, at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame, and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12 1 3. Those who did little or nothing with the resources and opportunities for service for God and others that the Lord had given them will not lose their gift of salvation, and they will still be accepted into heaven. But they will receive little or no heavenly rewards for their earthly life, or, as the case may be, no positions of responsibility and honor in God's kingdom to come. Salvation, our entry pass to heaven, is a gift from God that we cannot earn by our good works, but only through receiving Jesus as our Savior. However, the rewards we receive once we get to heaven are earned through our works here on earth. Those who were faithful to do good to others and obey God's laws of love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 22:37-39, will shine as the stars, while those who do not manifest deeds of love on earth will awake to shame. The Lord is going to need and use those who were faithful on earth before this time, who did what they could with the talents they had to further the kingdom of God when it was still mostly a spiritual entity. God's kingdom will have been founded on the earth, but it will still be a big job to establish it from one end of the earth to the other. Those faithful to God now and in the past are going to be the ones entrusted to do it, and that will be part of their reward. Scripture tells us there will be many other rewards, most likely both spiritual and material blessings, although we don't know all the specifics. The Apostle Paul wrote that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us, Romans 8:18. And Jesus promised a crown of life to those who are faithful to him, Revelation 2:10. The Apostles Peter and Paul both wrote that those who are faithful to God in this life will receive crowns in the next. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing, 2 Timothy 4:8. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away, 1 Peter 5:4. Perhaps they will resemble halos depicted around the heads of the saints in Christian art. As yet, we don't know exactly what those crowns are, but certainly we won't be disappointed when we receive them.